This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Privilege to break the Word of God, break open the Word of God with you this morning. And before I do, let us bow our heads in prayer. Father God, I ask that you anoint my lips and hide me behind your cross, Lord Jesus. This message which you have been pressing upon me to say, let it be your words and not mine. And I ask that you open our hearts that we may receive it. In your name we pray, amen. Now, the title of the sermon is At a Seat at the Table. And you may wonder who we're talking about. So let me introduce you to Mary of Bethany. If you turn in your Bibles to Luke 10, verse 38, you will find the first instance that we find Mary of Bethany. And it says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And so now you see that Mary was the one who was first introduced as sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha was actually not demanding help, but she was demanding that she not break the tradition of helping out. She was demanding that she stay with her and do the busy work, but Jesus commended Mary for sitting at his feet. We then find Mary in the next story, and we find it in John chapter 11, 32. Now, when we were in Luke, what did we hear? We heard that we saw Mary where? At his feet, right? At his feet. But now we turn over to John chapter 11, and you will hear a little bit of what Pastor Joe had preached about last week. And here we find in John chapter 11 that a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, and the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it says here, let me just reiterate to you, it says here that it was that Mary, John 11, 2, it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Now, we know which Mary at Bethany she was, who anointed him. We'll find further along in this story that even though Lazarus has now died, and when Jesus finally makes it to Bethany, of course, Lazarus is dead, and who comes running out to see him? The first was Martha, and what did she do? She fell at his feet, and she talked to him, and she accused Jesus, if you had been time here in 1132, then when Jesus once again, an instance that we are once again at the feet of Jesus. And now, finally, the main text of our story, where we find Mary of Bethany once more, and we turn to John 12. Turn with me in your Bibles to John 12. John 12, beginning with verse 1. And I will read, because this is a very short passage in which we talk about her. Then, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. Let us break this text down a little bit. And so we find, we're going to go back to John chapter 12, verse 1. We find Mary, and in my Bible, it literally says before, as a pretext, the reading of the chapter before, it says the anointing at Bethany. You will find this same story in Matthew and Mark, and it all says the anointing at Bethany. So let us see where Jesus is. He's in Bethany, but what does Bethany mean? Bethany in Hebrew means the house of the afflicted. In Aramaic, it means the house of the poor. And when you think about the terms of what the meaning of Bethany is, it is so fitting to the situation that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus found themselves in, because Lazarus had been sick. They had experienced so many afflictions. So literally, Bethany was called house of affliction, and in Aramaic, house of the poor. And now it says, in the accounts of Matthew and Mark, it says that they were taken to Simon, the house of the leper. It doesn't mention that in here, but Simon the leper, you're thinking, how can they go to the house of Simon the leper? He's a leper, right? He's not supposed to be hosting anybody. But obviously, the only way they could have gone to the house of Simon the leper is because he had already been healed and therefore could now host dinners at his place. And so here we are. Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, who had raised him from the dead. Now, in my Bible, in the NKJV version, it says exactly that, where Lazarus was, who had been dead. But in other In other translations, you will find that it says, where Lazarus was reclining with him. I just want you to keep that in your mind, where Lazarus had been reclining with him. And just to proof text this, I looked at this across the NASB and the NIV and all these different translations, and there were more than four that I found that could prove that he could also have been reclining with him. So now, that was 12 verse 2. They made him a supper, Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Now let us break this down a little bit more. She takes this costly fragrance, and down in the verse you will see that it costs 300 denarii, but we're not getting there yet. She takes this, and according to Matthew and Mark, she has this oil in an alabaster box, and she breaks it open, this whole pound, one entire pound of oil, not half an ounce, not 1 ounce, not 6 ounces, but one entire pound. Such was her love for Jesus that she didn't want no little offering to be anointed unto Jesus. She wanted the biggest that she could bring. And so she brings 1 pound of fragrance. She takes this full jar, nothing held her back, and this full jar shows how much her love went into buying this costly oil for Jesus and the amount of it and how much she loved him. So she takes this, and it says next, she anoints the feet of Jesus. Feet. Why are feet such a big thing? She is at Jesus' feet, face to face with Jesus' feet. And honestly, if I think about, not necessarily Jesus, but if I had been someone back then who was face to face with the foot and I needed to anoint it, see, feet were very, very dirty. Feet, because the men, everyone wore sandals. There were no closed-toed shoes or socks that protected them. All sandals, their feet were dirty. And so this is why servants would come in and they would sometimes wash the feet. But this time it says that Mary takes this oil, and once again, where does she find herself at? The feet of Jesus. And she anoints his feet. Not only does she anoint his feet with this very expensive oil, she then takes it, her hair, and wipes his feet with her hair. It doesn't say, and wiped his feet with a towel. It says, she wiped his feet with her hair. And what is the significance of hair? Hair for a woman in biblical times was her glory. In 1 Corinthians 11, 15, it says, but if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. So now imagine this, Mary uncovers her hair, because back then all the women wore shawls over their heads. She uncovers her hair, And she takes the glory, her one beauty, the glory of her hair, and she wipes the feet of Jesus. This was her gratitude. And you can also ask, what was the symbolism of being at the feet of Jesus? Who do you know came to the feet of Jesus? We can talk about Legion, the demoniac, who first fell at Jesus' feet and begged him to be healed of his demons. And then at the end, when he was healed, then he fell again at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And then we will have the leper that Jesus healed, who also fell at his feet. But falling at Jesus' feet doesn't only talk about the lower caste. It also talks about the higher caste, because when Jairus, leader of the synagogue, had a daughter who was ready to die at home, Jairus paced the shoreline, and when he saw the master, what did he do? He fell at his feet. Later on in the story, you will then find the woman with the issue of blood, and she goes and she says, if I could just touch his robe, the bottom of the hem of his robe. And can you imagine if this woman is in the dust, in the crowd, trying to not make a spectacle of herself and trying to touch the robe of Jesus? Where is she? She is crawling to the feet of Jesus. And when Jesus finally realizes, or he knew she was there, when Jesus finally realizes and heals her again, she falls where? At his feet. So the feet of Jesus, when they fell at the feet of Jesus, when Mary sat at his feet, it was an adoration when she listened to him. When she fell at his feet the second time, when she was pleading for her brother, it was in petition. And now, when she is at his feet with the oil of anointing, she is there in worship. And so now you think about this whole pound of fragrance that's there. Could you imagine, now think about this, that Jesus accepted this kindness, this love, because this was one recorded acts where someone had given something to Jesus out of the love, out of their own hearts. Can you think of any other place? I looked. I Googled who gave gifts to Jesus, apart from the Magi. Who gave gifts to Jesus in his later ministry? Who was kind to Jesus? Who sought after Jesus in love? It doesn't mention anything. And if you can find one, that is great. Then you can point me the way. But here, this is the one gift that Jesus has. Jesus has been busy doling out kindness and love and healing to everyone. And finally, this is the one gift that is offered to him. And so with this one gift, there's a critique, right? You'll see that in verse 4, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who would betray him, John 12, verse 4, he says, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? 300 denarii was enough for 1 year of wages. And so he's asking this, he's thinking this, and Jesus rebukes him because he knew. And it says here, he said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put into it. And so Judas was already looking at what would have happened if that oil would have been changed into denarii to quote unquote give to the poor, but that he would take and line his own pockets with. So that was the critique. But then Jesus gives back a rebuke. Leave her alone. She has kept this day for my burial. She has kept this for the day of my burial. In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, it says that Mary has anointed his body. Mary has anointed his body for his burial. So I know that in Matthew and Mark, you have the text there that says the woman anointed his head. And in John, where we're looking at, it says that she anointed his feet. But because all the verbiage throughout Matthew, Mark, and John are all pretty verbatim and parallel and the same, we can say, and which is why Jesus said, she has anointed my entire body for my burial. And so he rebukes John. But let us go back to the anointing. What is the anointing? Now, in the original days, shepherds used to anoint the heads of their sheep because many bugs and insects and lice would get stuck onto their wool and eventually work their way up into the wool on their head and finally into their ears. And when they worked their way into their ears, then they would end up killing the sheep. And so by the shepherd pouring oil and anointing the oil of the head of the sheep, then it would cause the wool to become slippery, and therefore the bugs could not latch on, and the sheep would be protected. So back then, with shepherds, the oil symbolized protection. But we also know that back then, when you anointed somebody, when the priest would anoint somebody, the anointing was to anoint someone to a higher calling, whether it be to a kingly position or the work of God. The anointing upon that person's head was to symbolize the Holy Spirit being washed down upon that person and anointing them into the calling that Jesus has called for them. And so now we can say that Mary was anointing Jesus. Did she know that Jesus would die? Now back to John 11, 53 to 54, John 11, 53 to 54, it clearly says that from that day they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. So, did Mary know that Jesus was going to die? Possibly. She certainly wasn't immune to the fact or blind to the fact that Jesus had already stopped his public ministry. She had her ear to the ground via her brother that the politics that were going on. She knew that Jesus was being headhunted, that they were looking for him to arrest him. And then the only thing that would happen after an arrest would be to kill him. So did Mary know? Most likely, yes. But we can say that Mary was not only anointing Jesus in gratitude for her brother's life, but also because she had been converted into believing in him when she saw her brother being raised up from the dead. Now, can you imagine the room? Time stops as her act captures the amazement and even outrage of those in the room who are witnessing her extravagant behavior. Nevertheless, Jesus, who is threatened by threat and death, receives her gift with gratitude. He knows that his time on earth is coming to an end. But here, Mary's gift of anointing has provided him with comfort, with love, and he knew that this would be his only anointing, because even in death, the women never made it to go and embalm his body with the spices that they had bought. So this was to be Jesus' only anointing in death. And finally, verse 8, "For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Who was Mary? Was she poor? She was called Mary of Bethany, who came from, as I had said earlier, which Bethany meant the house of affliction or the house of the poor. So we can say that, yes, she was poor, but who else was Mary? She was a woman. That was also strike one. Just by her gender, she was already oppressed by society and regarded as an object like a chattel, one who would just give birth. Later, Jewish writings, you'll find how they looked at women. Pharisees, we find in later writings, forbade women to stand no less than 4 cubits, that is 6 feet away from them. So they couldn't even be close to like the presence of a woman. And so Mary also, what went against her was women don't anoint. They do not anoint men. But this thing was reserved for prophets and priests. But here she was anointing Jesus. And did Mary represent the poor? Yes, she did. Because it says that she was from the house of affliction. So we know that Jesus' ministry was founded on his mission to bring good news to the poor. Jesus always stands on the side of the poor and against all forms of poverty and oppression. He is in fact quoting scripture, Deuteronomy 15:11. In this verse, in John 12, where he says, 12 verse 8, "For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have with you always." For the poor, he is quoting Deuteronomy 15:11, and it says here, "For the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor, your needy, and your land." So Jesus here was not ignoring the poor. He was calling the attention to the people to say, do not forget the poor. Minister to the poor, for I will not always be here to minister to them for you. So now he is saying, be alert, look at what is being done now. Now that Mary had the time and the inclination and the want to anoint him, he's saying, be present in this time now. How does this apply to us? He is saying, be present now. What is happening around you? Who is being opposed? Who is being oppressed? Who are the poor? Lift them up. Don't wait. Now is the time. And love and bless others while you can. Mary's anointing of Jesus' feet anticipates what's going to happen a few nights later when Jesus enacts this same act with his disciples when he washes his feet. And so this woman teaches us so powerfully with no words but just actions what she allows the word of God to work through her. And this is why in Mark verse 9 it says, assuredly, in Mark verse 14 to 9 it says, assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Now, before we finish this passage, I need to ask you a question. Are all my boys here? All right. How did Mary get to Jesus? Remember I told you that John chapter 12, verse 2, it says in the NKJV that Lazarus was with them, but in other versions it says Lazarus was reclining with them. And so I'm going to ask my boys to come up here, and also Brother Joe and Brother Dan. I want to show you something. They're going to come here real quick for a... All right. So, David and Chance, come here. Lie right here with your on your stomachs, facing forward. Close. Move over. Close. All right. And Brother Joe and Brother Dan, however we find room, I want you to lie right here, however you can. So, yep. Here, you come on this side. Come on this side. And no, you stay right there. And actually kind of line up here with David. Okay, so lie straight down and back up a little. You're on your stomach. All right. Mikey, lie down next to Uncle Daniel. All right. Yep. Here, you lie down right here. Right. And you go right between your brothers. So, when it says that Lazarus was reclining with Jesus, oh, my kids look so serious. Okay, when it says that Lazarus was reclining with Jesus, I'm asking you, how did Mary Magdalene get to Jesus? Because how the Romans ate back in those days, now you've seen the Last Supper of Da Vinci and they're all at one long table, right? Now that is not a correct description of how they ate back then. Back in Jesus' times, in Roman times, they were at tables called traniculum, and these were these U-shaped tables. So imagine that all these men were elevated onto platforms, like platforms right about here, and they were elevated onto these platforms. So just think that they're elevated, right? So they are elevated onto these platforms in a U, and in the middle of them is a bunch of food. And so, and they did not have forks or anything, so they were eating with their hands, and they were reclining and eating food with their hands just like this. So if Mary was trying to come and have access to Jesus, both to anoint his feet and his head at the same time, think about this, where would Mary be? Could she? Of course, Joshua has to be a little bit longer, right? But could she reach, if this was a whole U dais, could she reach Jesus like this to anoint him? Could she reach his at one time to get the act done, the anointing his head and his feet? Okay, let's go up here. If she was, let's say Jesus was seated up here, could Mary reach over and have easy access and anoint Jesus' head and his feet? No. So where did Jesus have to be sitting when he was anointed by Mary? The only places that Mary had easy access to were where Brother Daniel is and where Brother Joe is. These were the only places where she could come in and quickly, not make a huge scene, but quickly anoint his head and anoint his feet. Thank you. You can stand up now. Now, you know where I said that she was, right? She could be either here or here. But what did this signify? What did the placement of anointing signify? She was only able to get complete access to Jesus at the end. Now, when Jesus was normally brought, invited to a feast, and he was the guest of honor, where would Jesus be? At the head of the table. And the head is up here at the U, right? But he couldn't have been there for Mary to have accessed him, so now he was here. So here's where the head was, the host and whoever the other dignitaries are. But the lowest of the guests would be seated at the front where Brother Joe and Brother Daniel were. So you see, Jesus had now, here's the significance, in order for Mary to have access to him, Jesus now traded up his seat of honor and became a lower servant. And this is how she could get access. Jesus sat at the lowest place because this time Jesus was not popular. Why wasn't Jesus popular? Why were they trying to kill him? Because he raised Lazarus from the dead. They were also plotting to kill Lazarus. So you can bet that Lazarus was also on one of the lower spots. So now from being revered, Jesus has been demoted. But check the turnaround. Jesus knew that he was leaving his vacant spot. And by accepting the anointing of Mary, by accepting this anointing, he was offering her a seat at the table. He was saying, the poor, the oppressed, those of Mary have a seat at the table. He was offering a seat to her because the seat was ready to be taken. And now we go to John 19, 25 through 27. John 19, 25 to 27, and now it reads, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. You know how Jesus always talks about supporting the orphans, the widows, the poor. He now knew that his mother would be left alone. And so he appointed somebody, John, to take care of her. And it shows that now he was opening up the table for widows. Moving on to Mark 15:47, we find Mary Magdalene and the mother of Jesus observing where he was laid. And on to Mark 16:1, when Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene went to buy spices to anoint him for his burial. Finally, in John 20:16, now we ask, who is Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene was the woman whom Jesus cast seven demons out of. So this woman who had been previously demon-possessed now finds herself at the foot of the cross because of what Jesus had done for her in casting out. And so we look to John 20, verse 16, where after the burial of Jesus and they go running to go and anoint his body, Mary finds that he's not there and she thinks he's the gardener. The tomb is open, the body's not there. And here. Okay. Do I have a mic? She finds that the body is not there, and so now she says, Jesus, she thinks that he's a gardener, and he says, Jesus said to her, Mary. She turns and says to him, Rabboni, which is teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Now, many scholars use this to say, Mary Magdalene, a woman, Jesus gave a woman the voice to speak and evangelize, but it wasn't only that. We got to realize who Mary Magdalene was. She was a former demoniac. So Jesus is now giving a seat at the table for the afflicted, for those who have had things happen to them, but now had sought a relationship with him and who were now changed. He was giving a seat at the table to one who had fallen away and come back, to one whom he had healed. So now we see that Jesus has a seat at the table for everyone, for the poor, for the widows, for the demoniac, for those who have gone so far beyond redemption, but they have still been brought back and a seat is waiting. Therefore, we go to Romans 3, 23 to 24. When I think of everything that is going on in our world today, the oppression, the racial injustice, COVID-19, we are all suffering, but we all, no matter our sufferings, no matter what we have gone through, Genesis 1:27 says, we were made in the image of Jesus Christ. We bear the image of Christ. Therefore, in Romans, even though we bear and we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus, we are justified by him. We are his image bearers who, although we have sinned, we bear his image and we are justified in him. And Galatians 3:28 says, because we have borne that redemption, Galatians 3:28 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you were baptized in Christ, have put on in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. And lastly, we come to Hebrews 4:16. For because we are all one in Jesus Christ, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Help whom? Those who are oppressed, those who are unloved, those who are unaccepted. Because while we have a seat at the table, everyone else has a seat at the table too, an equal seat at the table with Jesus Christ. So because of that, I end with a song. Because we have a seat at the table, God calls you to come as you are and hear his call. Just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see, come receive, come and live.
you hear the Spirit call? Come just as you are. Come receive Christ our King. Come and live forever.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for showing us through Mary how you have opened up a seat at the table. Lord, let us open our hearts and bring people to your table. Let us not let race, class, wealth, anything bar us from bringing those to your table. Let us not ourselves fear coming to the table, because Father, we know that you have a seat at the table ready for us. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.